Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservinator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservinator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, the Conservinator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservinator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservinatornation.com. Check it out today.
Prepare yourself for the clash of punk rock, politics, and your uncensored, unafraid host, Remso W. Martinez. You are about to experience the Remso Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the program. I don't know about you, but I actually just came back from seeing Suicide Squad in theaters. Absolutely phenomenal film. If you have not seen it, go see it. Forget what Rotten Tomatoes said. Forget what all the other critics are saying. Go see Suicide Squad now. And you don't even have to be a comic book nerd to appreciate it. A lot of my friends who have never opened up a comic in their lives, they don't know any of the characters. They just wanted to go see Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn and Will Smith shoot people. They'll love it too. It's the perfect family film. Bring the little ones, bring grandma, bring everyone. Suicide Squad is perfect. But you don't want to hear me talk about that. That's for another time. Though I have been thinking about starting up a midweek podcast. Just to talk about comics and stuff like that. Since I'm getting good reception from a lot of you that want to talk a little bit more about that. Get a little break from politics. That's the other thing. We all need a break from politics. And if doing like a 10-15 minute rundown of all the comics coming out during the week, all the shows and movies and other stuff coming out, a little pop culture. If you guys just want to talk about that, let me know and we'll see what producer Ryan and I can cook up so you have something during the week to kind of get your Remso Republic flavor in, but leave out the politics and all the terrible, terrible things. But talking about all those terrible, terrible things, we've got to talk about the solutions to all those terrible things. Who's coming up with these solutions? Where are the solutions coming from? And are they good or bad? This is why I have our guest tonight. He's Craig Bowden. He's a candidate running as a libertarian for Utah's 1st Congressional District. Craig, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Renzo. How about yourself?
Absolutely outstanding. Now, folks, by the time you listen to this, you'll wonder, why does Remso and why do Greg sound so tired? We're actually recording this pretty late at night. Greg, you just had your Q&A town hall session. How did that go?
Wasn't too bad. Decent responses, as always. Lots of inquisitive people trying to figure out what the Libertarian Party is all about and why they should pick us over the Republicans and Democrats. And Utah, especially this year, has been very, very interested in the Libertarian Party. So we've been getting a lot bigger crowds at our events, a lot more questions, and a lot more consideration for what we're standing for.
That's great. Was it primarily a Libertarian audience, or did you have some independents, some non-Libertarians? What was the audience like?
Usually it's a pretty good mix. You've got Republicans coming in to find out what's going on, the Never Trumpers, if you will. Uh-huh. You've also got about 40% of them usually end up being independents because that's roughly about state makeup. So those tend to be the two most prominent that show up. Obviously, volunteers that help set up things like that. They're the hardcore Libertarian Party members that are just trying to do their part to help us out. And you get the ones and twos that haven't quite heard of you but want to make sure that they're casting their vote in a principled way.
Perfect. I'm glad to hear everything went well. So, Craig, for those listening that don't know you yet, how about you give us a little bit of your backstory? Tell us who you are a little bit.
Okay. Backstory is I've been working since I was 11 years old. It all started with the responsibility that my dad instilled into me, strong work ethic, started with the paper route, shoveling sidewalks, basically my own business after a while, just trying to make a little bit extra money. From there, after my schooling, I was a United States Marine, served for nearly 8 years in the infantry, deployed to Iraq as well as Morocco, and did some various training exercises, things like that. And it was actually when I was in the Marine Corps where I started to come around to the libertarian philosophy, because what I discovered there was that, you know, obviously these weapons of mass destruction we were sent to go and find, they weren't there. And so that, you know, kind of puts a question in my mind of, if they're so wrong about this, you know, what else are they wrong about? By the time my second deployment came around out there, I was just, why are we still here? And so that started the questioning process. And before I knew it, I was running for office, getting involved with local politics, you know, sending out letters to the editor, yelling at the radio a lot, things like that. But that's pretty much my life in a nutshell. Right now, I'm working for a company that does car loans. I'm the guy that tries to help you get back on your feet once things go awry, if you lose your job, things like that. I try to keep you from getting those credit hits, try to keep you from getting repossessed, things of that nature, so that you can stay in your car. And so that's pretty much where I sit right now. And I'm also a father, husband, got five little munchkins running around. So on top of doing the politics and working a full-time job, I also have to make sure that, you know, I step up, play with the kids, and also spend time with my wife. So it's definitely a busy world for me.
Exactly. And if you do not have your wife's support, you cannot do anything political. I've seen that happen. Wives can help your campaign succeed or destroy them.
Yep.
But seeing how you have all this time that you need to put towards, you know, being the man of your house, taking care of your job and everything else, why spend any time in politics? It's a lot easier to just take care of your own life. I mean, you have five kids, you have a wife, you have a job. You're a former veteran. You've already done your service. Why are you continuing with this? I mean, politics is really, especially third party politics, is really just a bridge to nowhere sometimes. Why are you still involved?
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it. You know, I look at it from the same perspective of why I joined the military in the first place. It can't always be somebody else's son. It can't always be somebody else's dad that's going off and doing it. And, you know, yeah, sure, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. I'm pretty much dead by the end of the day, just asleep. But, you know, it's just something that's got to be done. And I look around and, you know, I look at my kids. And the stuff that's going on right now, that they're not going to be able to enjoy the same level of freedom that I did in my childhood. I mean, I was basically a child entrepreneur, and they aren't able to really have that kind of stuff. I mean, the permits required for lemonade stands, I mean, for heaven's sake, they can't even walk to school without DCFS getting called on them. You know, I used to walk to school just fine all on my own. So something's got to be done, and I'd like to have a better future for my kids, and someday they're going to have kids, and, you know, I just look at that, and something's got to be done, and if I'm seeing this, other people have got to be seeing this, and so something's got to give, because we've been doing the same thing for, you know, 150 years, and there hasn't been much change.
You're 100% spot on, and you just reminded me recently I did an episode where I spoke with my friend Robert Sarvis, and we were talking about the stupid red tape and regulations out there, especially when it comes to occupational licensure. And somewhere the whole lemonade stand conversation came about. And I basically told him, you know, if it's still going to be illegal years and years from now when I have kids, I might as well send them out and go sell beer. They might as well go make a bigger profit than a lemonade stand. But sidetrack, my bad. No, that's great. But how's the reception in your district right now? How's the campaign looking going forward?
You know, I've been really impressed. 2014, I ran for the same office, and it was a lot of doors slammed in the face, a lot of rejection. But this year, there's been a lot of turnaround. I'd say close to 50% of people are actually answering their doors. And when they do answer, we're only getting ones and twos that are turning us away. Last weekend, myself and another volunteer, we went out and canvassed my hometown. And I mean, the response was just amazing. We handed out probably close to about 500 flyers within about 2 hours. And I mean, out of me and him both, we only had, I think, 7 people turn us away. Wow. So it's been really amazing in comparison. And then when you talk about the town halls, we're actually getting people turning out and showing some support. My donations, I've actually surpassed what I did in 2014. You guys are actually going to force me to follow the laws and everything and have to a PC. So it's been amazing.
That's a good dilemma to have these days, though.
Oh, most definitely.
Craig, hold on to that thought. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remser Republic. Hang on tight, and we'll be back in a moment.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remser Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
When did failure become sexy? When did repeating the same mistake over and over again sound smart? I'm Lucy Brenton, candidate for U.S. Senate, and like you, I'm worried about the future of our country. I've taught my children simple principles, which our government has forgotten. Live within your budget. Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. We remember those simple kindergarten rules. Isn't it time our government does? To learn more, check out my website, lucyforsenate.com. That's lucyforsenate.com. Join me and make your vote count on November 8th. My name is Lucy Brenton, and I approve this message.
Welcome back. We've got Craig Bowden, Libertarian congressional candidate from Utah, on the show. Craig, it's kind of like a pseudo lightning round. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, so, just so that our listeners can get a better, you know, wider picture of you at this point. So, if you had to kind of give me your elevator pitch, what are the 3 things you want to affect if you win your election and become the next congressman in your district?
3 things. So the 3 biggest concerns that I have are civil liberties, especially when it comes to currently the process with the USA Patriot Act, how they're using the NSA to essentially gather every bit of information on everybody. And that actually specifically hits Utah.
Do you mean the USA Freedom Act?
Yeah, Freedom Act, Patriot Act.
Gotcha.
Whatever makes you feel guilty to support it. But yeah, basically, it hits Utah pretty hard because we actually have one of the NSA collection centers. And on top of the privacy issues that it raises, we also are one of the driest states in the United States. And this facility uses 1.3 million gallons of water a day. So, I mean, we're actually going to be able to attack that on 2 fronts, where we can hydrate Utah, and we can also respect each other's privacy. So number 2 for me would probably have to be foreign policy. The way that I look at it is I used to be a set of boots on the ground, and I was enacting the foreign policy with a rifle in my hands. And the way that the United States has been for the last several decades is we're basically getting involved in places where we shouldn't be and getting into business that really is none of ours. You see what's going on with Syria, Libya, Yemen, Pakistan, you name it. We're dealing with a lot of death. We're dealing with a lot of civilian casualties. And, you know, on top of that, we're also talking about the lives of our men and women who are signing up to defend the country, and they're not really doing anything in regards to defense. The third issue that I'd have to really cite would be ending the war on drugs and further probably victimless crimes overall, where essentially if no one's being harmed, you shouldn't be thrown in jail for it. And so I would be working to, you know, through whatever I can to try to get the public moved from this mentality of we've got to punish people who ingest things into their body to where they understand that it's actually a medical issue, and then start working on the process of not ruining people's lives by throwing them in prison for a number of years.
I'm glad you bring up the third one. Utah is a very, you know, it's a very right-wing state. It's basically the Mormon capital of the world. In terms of the victimless crimes, let's talk about, I don't know, drugs, prostitution, those type of things that really kind of jump to mind. How do you kind of discuss that topic with a more conservative audience? Has that been something that's kind of like a trigger point? I mean, how's it going with that?
So because of my LDS faith, I actually work with the concept of agency. It's a doctrine that my church teaches, and it's the predominant faith in Utah. And essentially what it explains is when we came down to the earth, we were given the ability to choose. And accepting God actually has to be a choice, and accepting the principles that are taught in my religion has to be a choice. So when you're actually using your religion to force the morality, they're not able to make that choice of their own free will. And so that's ultimately the way I try to bridge that gap to explain things a little bit easier to people. You know, the citizens, they have to be able to make the choice themselves. We can't force it because ultimately that's not being pious. So that's basically how I've been approaching that issue when it does come up.
Okay. Craig, if it's okay if you, I actually want to cut to our commercial break a little early. I want to give a little bit more time to the next topic I'm going to bring up. So, folks, hang on tight. We're going to take an earlier commercial break than usual. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to the Remzo Republic.
Remzo in the mix.
People ask me often, who's the next leader? Who's the next person that's going to actually take the Liberty Movement into the future? Who's the person that's going to invest in it politically, culturally, socially? Who's going to be the next innovator? Well, it happens to be a person who I think might possibly be your next libertarian senator. His name is Alex Merced. Now, you hear this all the time. He's an everyday guy. He's just like you and me. I'm telling you, he's an everyday guy who's no different than you and I. He's got humble roots. He has a great network of people working with him to make him actually have an impact in this election. But beyond that, he's the type of person that we want to invest in as libertarians. So go check out his t-shirts, maybe drop a donation. I got the Alex Merced buttons because they're awesome. But check him out today at www.alexmercedforny.com. He's the type of person who needs your help now, and he's Martinez endorsed.
My name is Alex Merced, and I approve this message.
What's up with all of these self-styled quasi-intellectuals who are using their goofy socialist ideas to experiment on real people like we're guinea pigs in a habit trail? It happened in Cambodia, where Pol Pot used his Marxist professor's musings to experiment and ultimately kill 1 in 4 people in just a couple years in his country. It's happening in Venezuela today, where Nicolas Maduro has adopted his own guru, a guy named Alfredo Serrano, who Maduro calls the Jesus Christ of economics. Frederick Hayek, of course, would call that the pretense of knowledge. And Hayek warned about intellectuals and socialism. He called them secondhand dealers in ideas, generalists that assumed that they knew everything, but really didn't know much about anything, and yet it's these secondhand dealers and ideas who drive public opinion, who continue to test failed ideas, who continue to lead to starvation and economic disaster. Serrano, for his part, is the architect of the wall that is keeping Venezuelans from buying food in neighboring Colombia. He is the architect of the idea that the problem with the food supply in Venezuela is not the lack of food, it's a lack of efficient distribution, it's a lack of government control. Secondhand dealers and ideas? No thanks, those ideas kill.
Get your essential liberty fix with Matt Kibbe at www.freethepeople.org.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Craig, I'm glad that you've kind of brought up that you're a man of faith. I mean, personally, I'm a Methodist. There are many other Christian, Muslim, Jewish libertarians out there. But I'm kind of curious because I've had kind of a predicament lately. I'm more of an independent libertarian. I do carry a Libertarian Party membership card, but I've usually always dedicated myself to be a split-ticket voter. I've got kind of a problem, and I'm hoping that maybe you could give me the answer I'm looking for. With Gary Johnson and his religious liberty stance, he's described it as a black hole. And recently, people have been kind of getting on my case because they say I want to legislate morality. To kind of give you a background on myself, I mean, I'm pro-life. I believe that religious liberty is the foundation of our country, and I understand some of the issues that people have with this black hole concept. But does that bother you at all? Am I overthinking it? Am I not thinking of something right? What's your take on that?
You know, ultimately, you know, we do have to respect, you know, religious freedom. You know, and Gary has been a little bit off the mark on a few things, mostly when it does come to businesses that are, you know, operating, as long as it's a private business, I mean, that's kind of their deal. Now, I do kind of understand it, this concept of, you know, well, what happens if they're going to refuse a Muslim? You know, what happens if they decide to refuse a Jew? Things along those lines. And, you know, I can certainly see his perspective, but on the same note, if we don't respect, you know, the religious views of those individuals and also the private property rights of the individuals, I mean, we're giving up two for one. And so, you know, I would counter that the only way that we could necessarily enforce something along those lines would be if they've actually signed some kind of public charter that states that they're going to follow things like non-discrimination laws. Now, that could be the case in certain types of corporations that are granted certain charters by the state. But, I mean, if you're talking about a straight-up sole proprietor that's, you know, baking cupcakes out of their own house or, you know, whatever have you, you know, that's their property, that's their business, that's their religion, and we have no business trying to force them to do what they want. So that's kind of my take on it.
Okay. So just to kind of solidify this, if let's say I'm a Muslim man and I practice Sharia, should I be able to discriminate from women from coming into my store?
Well, I would distinguish this between a line. If you were to take on the protections of the state through a corporate charter where you signed that you would not discriminate, because essentially when you do sign up for those kind of public charters, you are actually signing on a line that says that you will follow all the laws. So in something like that, I could see the point of where you would have to allow them service in your store. But if you were to remain a private business that's tied in with your own individual self, that, as a sole proprietor, then you would be able to have that right to discriminate.
Okay, I think I get what you're saying a bit more. Thank you for clarifying. So essentially what you're saying is if you own your own business and you take all the risk, if you take all the stakes that are at play, you should be able to do that without any type of blowback at all. But if exactly. you're a business that takes any type of public subsidy, takes any type of public grant, whatever, if you are somehow canoodling with the state in any degree, you forfeit that.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically the way that it is. And that is the way that it is on the books. You know, it's if you're going to sign on that line to get the protections from the state, you agree to abide by their laws. It's kind of a give and take on that note.
Okay, and this is a point I want to make because, Craig, I made you explain that to me literally twice. You did it in a very effective way. Why is it so hard for Gary Johnson just to do what you just told me?
You know, one of the things that I've been kind of critical of Gary on is he's not really a natural speaker. You'll notice when he's pressed on a debate, when he's put on kind of the spot where things aren't planned, so to speak, he kind of flubs a little bit. And it doesn't really matter what the question is. And so when you have somebody like, say, Austin Peterson challenging him in a debate, you know, it's not fitting his 1 minute, you know, practiced answer. The minute that happens, he kind of loses things. So some of that can be taught, but a good majority of it is a natural talent. And the combination of both ends up making you very effective when it comes to interviews, debates, things like that. So I think that that's a really big problem that he has. I also think that he may not have fully looked through the issue. You know, I've actually dealt a lot with corporate charters and things like that. For a brief time, I actually worked for the IRS in the business division, so I kind of have a little bit more of a scope dealing with that day in and day out.
Okay, and this is one of those sensitive topics that, you know, I don't like single-issue voters, but I find myself becoming one slowly, begrudgingly, because of this, because I've been looking at Evan McMullen, and, you know, full disclosure, there's something that's just not right about that campaign. There's something that just really kind of creeps me out about Evan McMullen. But if, let's say, Gary were to say one more ridiculous thing about religious liberty, I don't know what would happen. I don't know where I'd go with that. Because that seems it seems to be the crux of everything else. Because even if you're an atheist, if you're a humanist, if you have a very secular worldview, religious liberty should matter to you, because in secular terms, it's a matter of conscience. It's freedom of conscience. It's freedom of association, freedom of belief. Your mind and your body are yours. And I heard Glenn Beck discussing this recently on the Dana Lash show on The Blaze, and I tend to agree with him a little bit. I'm not going to put out the libertarian purity test. People call me way too right-wing. I mean, they're left libertarians. They are anarchists. They're, you know, the grand libertarian family tree is diverse, and I think as long as you hold individual liberty as your core belief, I will call you a libertarian. I won't argue with you on that. But I think when it comes to Gary Johnson, he really kind of picks and chooses what he likes about libertarian principles, and I think with this specific issue, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit. I don't think it's just a matter of how he can communicate it. I think he has some type of prejudice against religious people.
You know, that could be a possibility. I haven't been able to pick his brain on the issue in the couple times that I've gotten to talk with him. But, you know, if I get another chance, I'll certainly try to see what I can find out. You know, if he does have a bias against religion overall, I mean, that would be an issue. That would obviously be an issue for me. If you know any history about the LDS Church, we actually were persecuted pretty much since we started. You know, people don't like what's different a lot of times, and we were chased all over the East Coast until we were finally able to migrate to Utah, where mostly we've been left alone since.
Exactly. And I, you know, I'm an evangelical Christian, but I have nothing but respect for those of the Mormon faith. And I mean, you look at when I look at a religion, I try and understand that religion's worldview. I look at whether or not they've been peaceful or not. And in this country, I think it was. I'm going to really screw it up, so please correct me as soon as I mess up. But wasn't John Smith? Joseph Smith. See, I did it. Thank you so much. Joseph Smith. He was just going into town one day, and a bunch of the locals came in with a warrant for his arrest. And as his protectors tried to keep them from getting him, didn't he say something like, "Let me go, let them take me, do not resist"? And he went with them, and later they killed him.
So Joseph Smith, that is basically the story of how he ultimately was captured and what led to his demise. Where he was killed in Carthage jail, he decided that it was better to go peacefully than fight.
Exactly. And that's something that people need to realize. And I wish, you know, I'm not a fan of the religious right for the same reason that Barry Goldwater was afraid of it, mm-hmm. you know, towards the latter years of his life. But this is an issue that I think libertarians shy away from because conservatives have really kind of tainted it. And, you know, liberals, you can't even talk to them about this. But when it comes to freedom of conscience, when it comes to religious liberty, if we don't have that, everything else just becomes incredibly gray. Everything just becomes relative to a degree. And this has been something, I mean, I'm not ignorant that there are giant issues. I mean, the debt crisis, we're going to have a monetary collapse. We just gave God knows how many millions of dollars to Iran in exchange for hostages. This, for a lot of people, this seems like kind of a dead issue. We should move on. But I'm conflicted as a voter. And this is why I'm glad to have down ballot candidates like yourself, you know, out there that can communicate these ideals. Because whether or not I openly cheer for Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, I want to support the down ballot. And to kind of wrap things up, Craig, what's your message to voters? What's the one thing you really want them to carry home about you and your campaign, or just the Libertarian Party as a whole, or whatever? The floor is yours. I've taken up too much of your time.
You know, I just go with my slogan. You know, I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm just free. And that's essentially what I'm trying to do. By running is increase as much freedom as possible, both economic and social freedom. You know, if anything can happen that I can help somebody just get that little bit more freedom, that's my main goal. So that's really it in a nutshell. And if anybody chooses to support, that's obviously their conscience, their vote. But I would certainly appreciate the support.
Definitely. Sir, how can people get in contact with you, donate to your campaign? Go ahead and plug all your social media while we have the minute.
Sure. So my website is www.craigforcongress.org, and that's the number 4, not the word. Twitter, you can follow me at CraigBowden2020. And you can find me on Facebook, just looking up Craig Bowden for Congress 2016.
Sir, thank you so much for coming on the show, especially this late at night. Folks, remember, we're both a little bit tired, so if I was a little sloppier than usual, please forgive me. Hopefully you'll come in next week. Sir, it was an absolute blast, and thank you again.
Not a problem. I do appreciate you having me on.
It's all good. Anyway, this is something that does not make me popular amongst libertarians, folks. I'm not a party man. I never have been. I'm probably never going to. I've worked with independents. I've worked with Republicans. I'd like to say that I make a pretty good home with the Libertarian Party 9 times out of 10, but I'm not one of those people that's going to go against my core beliefs. And I'm not a purist. Like I've said constantly, a person that's my 90% friend is not my 10% enemy. But the thing about libertarianism, the thing that I think prevents people from looking into it and even adapting it as a political philosophy is the fact that it's inconvenient. What does it mean that libertarianism is inconvenient? It means that you're going to have to accept things that you don't have to accept things that go against your conscience. You do have to tolerate that, though, because for you to live your life as you see fit, you're going to have to allow others to live their lives the way they see fit. As Thomas Jefferson once said, the man who does not break my back nor pick my pocket, what difference does it make? I'm a straight Christian white guy. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of that crazy stuff. I'm not going to use the government as a tool to force out my beliefs onto others. It's having individual liberty as a primary principle that leads onto all other things. And that's why, and I'll announce this now, I can no longer support Governor Gary Johnson in this race. I turned into something that I didn't want to become. I became an apologist for him. For months, I've said that we just need to look long-term. But here's the thing. This entire race, from when I was excited about Ben Carson almost 2 years ago now, to when I was flirting with the idea of Rand Paul, to everything else that went on with my life, as I was even looking at all these great people within the Libertarian Party, within the Republican Party, even Jim Webb to a certain degree. But what we've seen is we've seen an entire slate of sellouts as our options. People say about Donald Trump, they say, oh, he's owned by nobody. He can't sell out because nobody owns him. But that's the thing. Notice how he was the anti-establishment guy, but he came out and endorsed John McCain, Paul Ryan. He's going back on all of his promises because Donald Trump is a sociopath. Donald Trump is a pathological liar. Hillary Clinton is even worse. Everywhere she goes, she leaves a trail of bodies behind. And Gary Johnson, I can't. He picks and chooses what he wants. Bill Weld even said that handguns are weapons of mass destruction. I mean, seriously, I can't keep going on with this. The whole mandatory vaccination and carbon tax thing. Oh, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. I don't know where Gary stands on things. And if you listen to Johnny Rockets episodes, you know that Gary Johnson, he supports the things he likes and he pushes against the things he doesn't like. The man would keep Planned Parenthood funded. I mean, I cannot in good conscience. He's not my 90% ally. I don't think I stand with Gary Johnson on many things, apart from maybe school choice, but he might go against that. I like the idea of a consumption tax. I don't think there's much left with him, and I'm not a single issues voter. The thing with him, I don't understand where he's going. And with Bill Weld, what Gary Johnson has shown me is this. It's that he has essentially sold us out. The people that were against him at the convention, they were ultimately right. We did not get someone that was libertarian-like. And I understand the argument. People say that I'm not libertarian enough. But that's the thing, though. I make a pretty good argument because, as I've said repeatedly, I still hold individual liberty above all other things. And that's why in this election, I'm going to be writing in Ted Cruz's name. Ted Cruz, while I'm not with him 100%, I'm with him a lot more than Gary Johnson, certainly more than the others. Daryl Castle, I used to think of him and his wife as friends, but if you know what went down with that, that's certainly not the case anymore. The man might not be a politician in status, but he is one in character, as he's shown. People often ask me, what do you think of Jill Stein? Jill Stein's a communist. And Evan McMullen, I don't get him. His whole involvement in this race is just weird. The people that he's associated with were part of the Republican establishment that were searching for a third-party option. It's not authentic. Ted Cruz is the only person in this entire race that stood for principle. while Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, all these other people just kowtow to Trump, Ted Cruz is the only one that has shown that he will stand for the whole Bill of Rights, for the Constitution, but most importantly, for our liberties. I'm not telling you not to vote Libertarian. Don't think that for a second. I've shown you the amazing down-ballot candidates I have, and I hope to get more on. I think the Libertarian Party is amazing, but I cannot support Gary Johnson at all. The down-ballot is where it's going to have to be. But please go out and vote, but vote your conscience. And if you're voting for Trump, if you're voting for anyone else, be ready to stand for it. Be ready to justify it. As always, check us out on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. Listen to the show however you want and share it with a friend. If you like these conversations, if you like to hear an independent mind, if you want to see this go forward and get more and more amazing people involved with the show, just... it's as simple as texting an episode link to a friend. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Screw the FCC, and good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?